that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are coming to you live this Saturday morning, July 11th, I believe it is, 2015. Yeah, it is July 11th. How about that? And we've got the Wranglers here. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
Welcome back, John. You'll have to give us an update how your fishing trip went. And we'll have the phone lines open in here just a little bit, Remnant, if you want to call in. But first, Jason, if you'd open us up in prayer, that's probably about the best place we need to start.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we place on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness, and we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we put on the helmet of salvation and pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we pray and petition for the saints. And we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Grant to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil, deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that come against us. Father, we pray that you continue to open our eyes in a mighty and powerful way so that we can see the enemy and we can see the plots of the enemy so that we can combat against them. Father, we ask for more of that Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can see the enemies. We pray, Father, that you quicken us in our spirit, Father, that we know how to act and how to react, and Father, and what our next move will be. And Father, we pray that we could just have that working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Father, that we listen up, Father, that we hear your command, that when you say go, we go, and when you say stop, we stop, Father, and we just ask for that in our lives, in our everyday lives, Father. We pray that you continue to work in us, Father. Help us to hear the words that you'd have us to hear. And as we're living in perilous times, Father, we just ask and lift up the youth of this country and this land, Father, and we pray a protection around them, Father. Ask that you look out after them and that you tend to their needs, Father, and that you just continue to work in their lives, Father. We pray for them to be drawn closer to you, and we pray that they just learn to have that relationship with you that they need to have on an everyday basis, Father, that they can have that communication with you. And we pray for us, the remnant, Father, that we can learn to have that prayer without ceasing in our lives, Father, that we can just go about our day every day, Father, and that we can learn that we can act upon it, Father. And we pray that prayer is always our first recourse, and that turning to you with our needs and our wants, Father, is always what we do first, Father. We pray that we can have that, Father, that when something happens, we need something, Father, that our first reaction is to go to our Heavenly Father with prayer, to bring it before your throne, Father. Yes. We pray to have these things in our lives, and we pray for you to continue to show us the miracles and the parting of the Red Seas, Father. We pray that we can have these things in this land once again, and we desire these healings, Father. We desire the dead to be raised, Father, and we want the blind to see and the deaf to hear. And, Father, we pray for that in this land, that we can have these miracles, that we can have these healings, that we can have the deliverances that we need. We pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. We pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Well, the phone's ringing first thing. We'll try a phone call first thing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Well, maybe it's
I don't think we got
call.
Anybody there.
I don't think so. Sometimes we've had sales calls on that number before. Hello, this is Google. Would you like to? So we're not going to go with that one. But, well, thank you, Jason. Much needed and stirring opening prayer. And I couldn't help but think when you were praying that it ties right in with what our Bible reading is right now in the Psalms 140 to 145 for this week, because it's what Psalms 140 starts off with: rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. And you know, that is something that we have to remember, and you prayed that that's part of the salvation that we have from our God, is, and that's part of the saving that we get from our Savior, is to be rescued from evil men and their evil plots. Well, let's try the phone line again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Well, not getting anything. Yeah. Guess not. Oh, well. And then it goes on. Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. This is Psalms 140. Preserve me from violent men who devise evil things in their heart. They continually stir up wars. They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. And our pastor certainly taught us to be aware of these things and to beware of those very things.
Amen.
Yeah, it's you know, we're seeing so many different things happening in this land, and things have just gotten you know, seems like, you know, and it's what we've seen is waves of waves coming. I mean, it's just, you know, it's up and down, up and down, up and down, and it seems like there's just been a big wave coming from all over the world lately. It's, you know, you look at the headlines and the news and what's going on in Greece and what's going on with China and what's going on with Russia, what's going on with the United States, and just even on smaller, you know, there's large scale things, you know, worldly events that are taking place, and then even, you know, national events. You look at what's going on here in the United States. I mean, you know, to me, this last, I believe it was last week, and it might have been the week before, because I might have got it a week late. But you know, when you see the U.S. military changing their ammunition out from an FMJ to a hollow point, that's significant, you know, and I haven't really heard anybody say anything that's getting ready for urban warfare, and that's what it is. You know, they have all kinds of excuses about it, and there's all kinds of chatter about it, but is what it is getting ready for urban tactical warfare in cities. And you know, I mean, that's huge. You know, that's just more handwriting on the wall. It's right before our eyes, and it's what they're doing. And they've been continuing to go, you know, and you can go on so many things. That's what they've been preparing for. And that's what they're doing, everything from changing their camouflage, you know, to urban tactical camouflages to, for, you know, a city situation. You know, is what they're doing, and they're doing it slowly, and they're putting all the pieces in place for, you know, you can call it martial law, you can call it civil unrest, you can call it whatever you want, but basically is what they're preparing for is they're preparing for war here in the United States. And everything's moving that direction. And, you know, they haven't moved anything, and it seems like it's going fast for me, but it's like they've really taken their time in putting all the pieces into place because, you know, they really don't want people to know what they're doing.
Well, that's exactly what they do. They do it not wanting anybody to know. Absolutely. I know they've been looking, the military's been looking for the last several years at what they call a harder hitting pistol, you know, something more powerful than the 9mm, and maybe that's what they're looking to do.
Well, yeah, they basically is what they're doing is they're saying that if we can use a 9mm when we use hollow points, then we're more, that's a harder hitting pistol than using a full metal jacket. And then they're saying that it's better than the 40 or the 45 because it has less recoil, they can hold more rounds, but they're going to get the same knockdown power as they are with a 40 or 45.
Yeah.
So they're saying that that's the new greatest thing. And, you know, one of the first things that came to my mind is, well, what about the Geneva Convention? Because the Geneva Convention banned always using hollow points. That was you know, something that has been set up for a long time. Well, they said that was part of a, I don't know, I can't remember the name of it, but a Hugo something compact, and it was for sidearms, and U.S. government is saying that they never signed it. They didn't have a part of it. I don't know, just one of those more interesting things, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. That is what it is.
Anybody heard anything on Jade Helm? That's coming up quick.
Yeah.
Any update on that?
No, just that it's going forward. I mean, you know, it's really hard to get any. You don't know what to do. I know that I've talked to a lot of people that said that they've tried sending emails with some really good information, and some people have actually got into some of those buildings and been staking out the buildings of the Walmarts and stuff that were closed down and shot video footage of it. They're saying their video footage is being censored. They can't. It keeps getting pulled off the internet. That when they try to send the pictures and the documents and stuff that they've received from doing their investigations down there, that their emails are pulled off of the off the internet. Nobody ever receives them. So, you know, it right now we're seeing cybercrime at a height on top of everything else. So it's very possible that they're using Jade Helm on one part, but it's also part of this you know, cybercrime exercise to be able to pull and censor emails. So, I mean, there's a lot of aspects in it, but we really don't have any fantastic information, good information on what is taking place, what they're doing.
I think it brings us back to your opening prayer, Jason, and that is to, you know, that when these things come upon us, the first thing we have to do is pray. That has to be in our, you know, we have to be disciplined in that. We have to have practiced that so that when it comes upon us, we don't think twice. We pray, we go to our Heavenly Father, and as you said at the beginning of the program, John, or maybe before, you know, and we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think it ties in with our commandment to pray without ceasing. We are to be of that mindset. Not yesterday, but a week ago. Go ahead, Jason or John.
That's why that request that we put out a couple weeks ago for prayer at noon is so important. It somewhat goes in line with 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, when my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So if enough of us come together and we pray in agreement, these prayers, just the Lord's Prayer, and then that prayer that was removed from the school system back in 63, then it's going to make a significant difference in the country. I think what we see here going on right now is basically 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 6. And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And I think you can see what's happening is the American people and humanity in large groups has turned away from God and turned to sin, and they no longer fear God. They enjoy the pleasures of sin, and as that takes place, the Holy Spirit that used to be present in people's hearts, minds, and souls, even through the churches in the early days, is being removed. And God's saying, well, if you don't want the Holy Spirit, then how about evil spirits? And you can see that the evil spirits, demonic forces of hell, have infiltrated all aspects of this country for sure.
Yes.
I believe we can take it back if we have the faith of a mustard seed, if we have the wherewithal to fight that fight. But we have to win the battle on our own home front first. We have to be sure that our lives are right with God, that we're turning away from sin at every opportunity that Satan puts in front of us, and that our families and are in proper order, the church is in proper order. All these things, you don't want to come against that kind of battle unless you know that your life is right and you have the proper order in your home. Because from what I'm reading, I read that book, They Shall Expel Demons, by Derek Prince, and I'm not so sure we can bind these demons as we cast them out. I think God gives them free rein to enter people who desire to sin. And you can cast them out, and they have to go in the name of Jesus Christ once you remove the legal ground that was there. But if your life isn't right, don't be surprised if those demons don't come to you or to someone else. And that's what I think is what we really need to focus on, is getting our lives right so that we're righteous in God's eyes, and we have that power that we need to take this country back.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think that, you know, another thing is you know, striving for perfection. You know, you don't have anybody out there that's really trying to do it. You know, they put it in a category of something that's unobtainable, that you'll never be able to obtain, that you can obtain, and they put it so far out there. Yep. That they, you know, when you put it in a category of something that you can't obtain, something that you'll never do, you will never accomplish it. You know, you've got to think that, you know, the reason that we have these things, the reason that we have scriptures that talk about when your obedience is complete, that is something that is possible to do.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's, you know, how can you get to having that obedience complete if you believe and if you say to yourself and say to your friends, well, I'll never be perfect. I'll never be able to get that. I'll never get there. And you continue to, take possession of your sins. You know, there's things that you need to let go, you need to turn away from, but you need to move on, but you need to have the attitude that I can do this.
Amen.
You know, Christ talked about greater things will you do.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And,
you're right.
You know, people, the problem is people, it's a mental problem. It's they put those sort of things out of range, you know, and they think that, well, they'll never be good enough. They'll never be able to do this. You know, and you won't without the blood of Christ.
No.
But that blood of Christ has been shed, and when you apply it to your life, you can do it.
Yeah. But, you know,
it ain't easy. I ain't saying it's easy by any means, but it's something that, you know, with changing the way you think and changing the way that you look at a situation and changing the way that you can apply some of these things to your life, you can put it back in range where it's something that you can strive for and you can eventually get.
Yep. That's even a problem within the remnant is
absolutely.
I believe sometimes we think just because we're baptized that we're good to go, you know, and we don't have to worry about things. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling every day. What does that mean? To me, it means we're to work out our salvation every day with fear and trembling. Fear of God, of not following His commandments, His statutes, and His laws.
Yep.
Yes.
We have to continue to move forward. But there's God given us all the answers we need right here in this Bible. We just have to have the will and the desire to seek the truth, that in the last days knowledge would increase. And we're seeing it.
Yep.
It's exciting. I mean, you look around you and we lost. You know, the battle's over. But in the spiritual realm, we're getting smarter. And the devil knows it too. And that's why it's so important that we flee from sin. Because if we don't, we're bringing those curses upon us and our families and our church.
And our enemy understands that. One encouraging thing that I'm seeing in the floods of emails that we're getting here, especially regarding what the way the Supreme Court ruled regarding allowing the sinning and the homosexuals, the sanctity of marriage, overriding the state's rulings on that nationwide, is that there are a few that are saying, you know, as our pastor did, so what? What does it matter what the Supreme Court says? We have the Bible.
Exactly.
The Bible tells us what is right and what is wrong. It tells us not what's right in our sight, but what is right in the sight of God. And what is wrong in the sight of God, or what is an abomination to God, or what is pleasing to God. And, you know, it's a choice. It's a choice that people make. And when they want to choose to stay in sin, or to choose to accept sin, well, no matter what it is, whether it's you know, the sin of lying, or the sin of murder, or the sin of fornication, or the sin of homosexuality, then that is that conduit to those demons that we're talking about, and it is a choice. But as you said, Jason, hey, we can do better than that. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that includes turning away from those sins. That includes repenting and not doing them anymore. And that includes, you know, walking, making the right choices, making better choices today than we did yesterday. You know, letting that fear and trembling come into working out our salvation. In doing that very thing. In making the right choice, and in not accepting those that don't make the right choice. We're getting so close to that time in Revelations where it says the filthy will be filthy still. The time of repentance is now. The time of returning and walking that straight and narrow is now. Tomorrow, who knows? You know, it may not be available tomorrow. And so we have to do that today. And discipline ourselves in doing that very thing. You know, getting our obedience complete. How do you do that? Well, reading the Word is a big part. It certainly is. I like what you said there. We don't, you know, John, we have what we need right here in these instructions in this Bible. Well, guys, let's see if we can get a caller on this time. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. How y'all doing? This is Edie in North Carolina.
Good morning, Edie.
Good morning. This thing, this J. Helms or whatever, I don't know the correct name for it, but it's not going on just in the designated states and stuff. It's going on at least here in little small towns, and they've got soldiers down here who are dressed like tourists. and they are in cahoots or whatever with the cities. When cities accept grants, they also accept the little fine writing that they have to, you know, make their citizens available to practice on. And one of the things they've done down here is, there's probably three houses on each side of me that are empty. And they keep building more and more houses. And one night, a couple of weeks ago, I heard something go, you know, bang in the night, and I went out to check out what it was. And they lit up the house next door. It's a white, plain white house. And it was lit up like a great big old sun. And it wasn't just, you know, lights like you see in a neon sign or anything else. It was, a plane was flying over at the time. And it was lit up like I would imagine that these fake Mary illusions are coming down. And they don't mind practicing on somebody like me because everybody thinks I'm, you know, that crazy Christian. But this is what they're doing. And, you know, were it not before the blood of Christ, you know, it would have been a strong delusion. But I knew what it was. It was their stuff that they're doing. And there's just, you know, we are so blessed in being given eyes to see and ears to hear and to pay attention to what's going on around us.
Amen. Amen, Amen. Edie. Absolutely. And again, you know, they do these things. We started out, you know, with Jason's prayer in the Psalms 140. Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They continually stir up wars. And they have their plans. Our God sits in the heavens, the Bible says, and laughs. They do all that they can, but we've overcome that. What a blessing it is.
Well, it is. It's just, you know, if people are not, don't wake up soon, they will be fooled by this stuff that they're doing.
Yes.
Because it is made to look so real.
Amen. John, you had a scripture verse?
Second Thessalonians 8, Edie, it says, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accordance with the activity of Satan, with all the power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth as so to be saved. So that's what you're talking about, is we're seeing those signs of Satan, the false wonders.
Amen.
Well, I remember years and years ago, before I became a born-again Christian, I saw an X-File movie, and it showed in it a soldier that had was dressed in an E.T. outfit, and he was locked up in a jail or something, a jail cell, and it turns out that, you know, he had been captured by the real E.T.s or demons or whatever. And I think that's what's going to happen with a lot of our soldiers. You know, they're playing along with these gangs and going along with this stuff. But I think it's going to come around that, you know, the real demons are going to step in, and they're going to see that this ain't a game, that this is, that we're playing for real, and that God's playing for keeps.
Amen.
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 Thanks, Edie.
Well, I'll let y'all go. I just wanted to share that with you, and y'all have a blessed weekend.
Thank you, Edie. You too.
We can do the same.
Bye-bye.
Right. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. You know, the Bible says also that God remembers their iniquities. He doesn't remember ours when we are washed, when we, through repentance and change, that we return to Him and repent of our sins and do the work of baptism and are saved and are washed clean. And once that happens, then He doesn't remember our sins anymore. Now, it's after that that we do, as you mentioned, John, that we That's a beginning. Baptism is a beginning. The slate is wiped clean, so to speak, in God's eyes. And it's from then that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling on a daily basis. But the evil ones out there, the Bible tells us that God remembers their iniquities. He remembers their sin. And they will face judgment for that one day. Well, we have another caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, man. This is Willis over in Illinois. How are you fellas this morning?
Hey, we're doing good, Willis. Let me pour you a cup. We just got some fresh coffee going. And how are things out there in the wonderful state of Illinois?
Well, bankrupt. Personally, it's doing fantastic. We're abundantly blessed here. God's given us rain when we need it. I see corn 6-7 feet tall. Looks like the farmers are going to have a good year. But I wanted to thank you fellas for the shows you've been putting out this week. I've enjoyed them. The only problem is they only last an hour. And by the time I'm ready to make a phone call, the show's over. So I thought I better ring in this morning. Just to let you know, 5830 was coming in good and clear. And then when you guys switched over to 9475, I've got no reception at all. But you're coming in good on the phone line. I was thinking about this latest Supreme Court ruling on this homosexual thing, and boy, I was kind of discouraged when that came through. But even though I knew that's the way they were going to rule anyway, but I started thinking about Romans 8:28. God works everything for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And, it's really separating the wheat from the tares. Boy, those tares are sticking their heads up proud. And it's forcing God's people to make a choice. And the ones that are going to follow him are doing just that. They're standing by their convictions, and the other ones are just falling to the side. So
Well, you can see that judgment is starting in the house of the Lord.
Yeah, I can barely hear the volume on the phone. You guys talking, that is. But I just wanted to say that, and his word is true. He works all things together for good, for his purpose.
He does. He does. Yeah. John, you had, I don't know if Willis can hear you too well, but I know you had did a writing and brought a little thing, I think, maybe to some of your men at a prayer meeting just a couple of weeks ago, or maybe since then, regarding that very thing. The judgment starts at the house of God, and he is not going to have lukewarm Christians or lukewarm churches. And that I think that was something along those lines that you were addressing, that very thing.
Yeah. Here in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, it says, too, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all other so-called God or object of worship. So we can see that apostasy is a great falling away. Well, what are we seeing now? We're seeing a great falling away from our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. He's bringing that forward. He's letting that happen. That's what I see.
It's the call before the judgment, separating the goats and the sheep.
It's all absolutely got to happen the way he's got it planned.
Absolutely.
And what better way to do it than to bring to light those who are willing to go along with that sin nature and not try to perfect their lives and draw closer to him. But, I've seen even down here in southern Illinois, I've noticed there are a few churches that are calling for a day of prayer and repentance, and they're starting to have little revivals here and there. Far and few between, but they are there.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God for that.
Amen.
Well, listen, I'm going to get off the phone here. I want you guys to have a blessed weekend. Look forward to hearing the church service tomorrow. I love you guys, and I appreciate the effort that you all put forth. Thanks for standing in the gap.
Thank you, Willis.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yep. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Good to hear about revival. It. I don't think that it is going to be. It's not going to be everyone. It's going to be like the way it's always been. It's always been a remnant. You read through. You know, it was a remnant that returned to Jerusalem. It was a remnant that heard the voice of Christ when He came. When He came, He spoke to multitudes and multitudes. And like on the day of Pentecost, when they were you know, we read it. There were times that 3,000 souls were added. They were baptized and added. But you know, you can rest assured that wasn't all the people that were there. But those were His sheep that heard His voice. And in these trying times that we're in, His sheep still hear His voice. They have that. You know, that's the new covenant. Is that the law is written on their hearts, minds, and souls. The law is written on their heart. Our enemy's done a good job to countermand that, but there's still one from a town, two from a city, as it was when this nation was founded to further the Christian faith, as the Mayflower Compact puts it. It was one from here and two from there. And this Anglo-Israel message, this message of truth from the Bible, it resonates with people because it's truth. You know, it's hard for people to accept sometimes, but it's truth. And so if you're seeking for truth, regardless of what it costs, regardless of if it's politically correct, regardless of if it matches your church's doctrine, regardless of it matches with what Granny and Grandpa did, or Mom and Dad, or regardless of if it matches up what the Supreme Court puts out. If you want truth, well, if you seek it, the Bible says if you seek, you'll find. Now, what you do with it, that's, you know, there's that free will again. But the Bible is true. If you look for it, it'll be presented to you. You'll get it. What you do with it, you know, that's that choice. That's that choice of do you try to get your obedience complete, or are you just satisfied with being like the prodigal son and, you know, living in the pig pen, eating the pig slop, the way most of our people are today in this land? It's a choice.
Amen. I was encouraging this week. Tuesday, most of you know, was 4 years since our pastor was called home, and the emails and the letters and the texts and things that we received, just remembering,
yes,
our pastor, the remnant out there that still love him, not for who he was, but for what he brought, the truth, no matter what the consequences, for being that voice that was crying out in the wilderness, in a way similar to John the Baptist, preparing the way before the Lord Jesus Christ's return. And that's significant. You know, people who never would have found baptism for the remission of sins, who never would have been born again of the water and the Spirit, if it wasn't for that voice crying out in the wilderness.
Amen.
For where you either love him or you hate him, and you listen to him, and you're drawn, his sheep are drawn to him, and the goats are pushed away. And so many sheep that are grateful for that man who stood as the voice in the wilderness for over 30 years. And Lord willing, those of us that are standing in the gap are continuing to do that. I've been blessed to be able to baptize quite a few people, several, actually a dozen or so, that aren't even in the remnant. And a couple of them have called me John the Baptist, and boy, what a blessing that is, and what a huge honor to be called that. Now the key is to live up to it.
Amen. We've got a few minutes left here. 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call in. Boy, the illegal immigration issue has sure come back up to the forefront between everybody coming against Donald Trump just about like they came against the Confederate flag in the last few weeks for his speaking the truth, talking about how these foreign countries, especially down south, they don't send us their their engineers and their nurses and stuff like that. They're emptying their jails and allowing those people to come up, and that's what they're sending us, and it's the truth. But boy, the right, the left, everybody's come against the Donald for that kind of stuff, for speaking the truth. But then the horrendous crimes that these illegal aliens are doing here, like the one out in California where the illegal alien shoots and kills a white woman. Accidentally, he says. Oh, he didn't know the gun was there and didn't know it was going off as he fired it three times. And they'd kicked him out of the country, what, five times? A seven-time convicted felon? And those type things, I think, let us know that their spell is being broken. We've been praying and encouraging people to pray the pistol prayer, and that's part of that, is that let the spells be broken. And we're seeing that. Those spells that this government has over the people. The people are starting, not over. They're starting to wake up. But in that pistol prayer, you know, where it's satanic strongholds release and bales be broken and bound, we're seeing that. And so we're seeing these things that have been happening. But the people are starting to see, and this on the illegal immigration, I think, is just one aspect of it. But the people are starting to see and starting to return. Even if it is the one here and the two there.
You see, there's basically 200 sanctuary cities. In fact, Fort Collins, Colorado, is one of the sanctuary cities where these illegal aliens, even if they've been deported, even if they're convicted of felonies,
can come back.
And if they're apprehended by police, the Abomination Administration has directed that ICE cannot come in and remove them.
Yeah, and did you? Now, I was unfamiliar with that. I had heard of that before, but I was unfamiliar with it. I didn't know anything about that. And
well, I didn't know there was 200 cities.
Yeah, I didn't either.
That's just the ones we know about.
Right, but I guarantee you this, the Mexicans coming across the border know about it. And when they're deported, you know, especially the second time, oh, they're telling everybody else. They're giving all their other fellow deportees that are on the planes or the trains or the buses that are headed back in the revolving door on the southern border, they're educating everybody else that's in there of that very thing. And you can bet your boots on that. You know, 2 Chronicles 29, we read a lot in 2 Chronicles, but in 2 Chronicles 29, verses 6 through 9, it tells us, "Our fathers have been unfaithful and have done evil in the sight of the Lord our God and have forsaken him. And that is why these things are happening to us." It says, "They've shut the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and if not burned incense or offered burnt offerings, therefore the wrath of the Lord was against Judah and Jerusalem." And that's where we are now. We've been unfaithful as a people. We've turned away from God, and we've worshipped and fornicated with every false god and every foreign thing that can come into this country, as it says in the days of old, under every green tree and on every green hill. That means everywhere, from sea to shining sea. And when it talks about back here in 2 Chronicles about not burning incense or offered burnt offerings, I mean, we understand we don't do those things today. Those were a foreshadowing of Christ. Those were leading into Christ. But what don't we do today? Well, we don't love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. We don't love our neighbor. We don't have God's law as the law of the land anymore. It's the law of the jungle. And so we haven't done the things that he tells us to do as a people. Now, it's as a people. And we know the remnant. As the remnant, we've come out of that. And we are doing our best to make our disobedience be gone and make our obedience complete in doing these things, whether it's baptism, communion, praying in the Spirit, doing our best, as you said, John, standing in the gap, continuing to get this truth out. And when the remnant does those things, well, we're blessed of God for it. It's as simple as that.
Amen.
We are. I mean, that's what the Bible tells us. Hey, follow my law, and I'll protect you. Do what I tell you to do. You know, be like Christ. Thy will be done, and my blessings will flow upon you. Your cup will overflow. And we see that. Oh, it's not that the remnant's life is perfect, but we have that Heavenly Father and the guiding of the Holy Spirit and the protection of Psalms 91 that we've just read in the last couple of weeks. The promise of Psalms 83 that although they conspire against us, Lord, you will treat them as Midian. You will wipe them out till they want us to be remembered no more. It's they that will be remembered no more. But that's for the remnant. That's not for the country. That's not for everybody. It's for those that repent and return to Him. It truly is. Because the wrath of God is against us, and man, when the wrath of God comes against you, there ain't no getting out of it, except the way He says to do it, and that's returning to Him. You know, Revelation 18 says, "Come out of her, my people." 2 Corinthians 6 says, "Come out from their midst and be separate." Nothing's changed. That's still what has to happen.
Don't be surprised if the world hates you, because it hated me before you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Can't be in the world and in the Word in Jesus Christ. But Jason, I don't know if there's any truth to this, but I saw an article that said you can apply for a concealed weapons permit in Virginia online. And people are getting them, and then it's reciprocal in 38 states. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't, actually. I'll check into it and see what I can find out, though.
Okay.
John, I know you can do
that. That was Virginia, you said?
What's that?
That was Virginia, you said?
Yeah, I believe it's Virginia. I don't think it's West Virginia. I think it's Virginia. But that would be pretty significant.
Yeah, you can do that. I know Florida is a state that you can apply online, and they will send you a packet, and you don't have to be a resident of the state, and you can do that, and you know, send your paperwork in to them, copies of stuff, and $100, and you can get a Florida concealed carry permit that's good in about 33, 35 states.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people that travel that do that, and, you know, are doing their best to, you know, as Romans 13, to be obedient, you know, to comply with the laws, at least that don't contradict God's law, you know, that try to not be a stumbling block to others, but to be obedient where it's necessary and do that.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you guys see this? There's somewhat of a movement going on in some of the churches who are standing against the ruling of the Supreme Court, but there's the Christian flag. I mean, we all know Judeo-Christianity is pretty far lost, but you know, it could be, this may be what it takes to wake them up as well, but they're putting the Christian flag above the American flag, and they're basically saying God before government.
I like that. God before government.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's pretty significant. What they're saying is, you know, the homosexual movement has stood bold, and basically they've won the victory because mostly it's the preachers are dumb dogs, unable to bark. That's been the biggest downfall. But I think it's encouraging to see that there's churches that, like our church, you know, back in 82 or 83, are finally taking a stand. Well, how far they'll take it, we don't know, but you can see that they're already trying to set the stage for prosecuting these Christian churches and Christian schools that have a 501c3 status, but in reality, it has to be removed for them to put Jesus Christ as the head of their church and the head of their organizations. So yep. It's just God working it for good as well.
It is.
You're going to take a stand one way or the other. Your knee's going to bow one way or the other.
Yep. No. It's like you're going to be, it's best to be humble before God rather than being humbled before God. But either way, the knee, the Bible tells us every knee will bow. That means my knee will bow before him. I bow it willingly. And we do, and we know the remnant does. That's how it is. But every knee will bow. The Muslims that claim to be Muslims now, at the time of the return of Jesus Christ, they will bow. Those homosexuals that want to live in sin and filth, they will bow. The Satanists that have succeeded in trying to put these statues of Satan with children sitting on his lap and stuff, and they're getting them in New York. They're still trying in Oklahoma. They're pushing down in Arkansas. We've talked about that in the past. Their knee will bow and their tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ. And then they will face judgment. It's as simple as that. We face judgment. It's coming for everyone. And, you know, what you do now determines how that judgment goes then. And if you want to believe those Judeo-Christians out there, that false Christianity, that false Christ that the Judeo-Christian churches preach, that just love God loves everybody. No, he says, I hate Esau. And David says here, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? There in Psalms 139. You want to believe those Judeo-Christian churches and just love? And believe that false Christ? Because that is what that is. It is a false Christ. It is a false Christianity. Then you can do it, and you can feel good now and listen to your tickling ear preacher and all that kind of stuff and feel good now. But as our preacher used to say, and as he taught, oh, you may love them now. You may love those goody-two-shoes, sloppy, agape, love-everybody preacher now, but you're going to hate him on Judgment Day. You're going to hate him because then the words, if that's all you do is love, 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 and you don't read into the word and you don't search out the matter and you don't do what the Bible says to do. How many times it says it throughout it? We are to be doers of the word. Doers of the word, not hearers only. Doers of the word. And if you ain't doing what the word says to do, then you'll hear what the word says. When you go to Christ on that day, oh Lord, Lord, didn't we do? We built churches in your name, Lord, and we went to Botswana and we fed hungry little children there, and we brought them here and adopted them here and brought them into our society, and Lord, we've done this and we've done that, and He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Now that's the words of Jesus Christ. So you better know what lawlessness is, so you don't practice it. And if you don't know what it is, you better find out. And it's breaking His
Amen.
Law. His law that He said He did not come to abolish, He came to fulfill. Sorry, I'm off the soapbox. Beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. Sun shining, there's still water standing all over the place. But they, praise the Lord, they sprayed for mosquitoes this week and they're all but gone. And beautiful day here. Been able to speak with some of the brethren around the country. Boy, keep Missouri in your prayers. The Branson area, they have had flash floods this past week. Sinkholes opening up in places you wouldn't imagine. Roads flooding. Cars piled up on the in ditches on the side of the road where these flash floods have pushed them all. But I spoke with Brother Ralph, and he said, praise the Lord, his house has been fine. His mom's place has been fine. We have some other members of the congregation in the area. He said they've been, you know, safe and protected. And this is unseen. You know, this is 2 weeks to a month late for that. If they ever had that kind of stuff there, just like our flooding that we're having. You know, this is springtime stuff that we're having right now. You know, usually April and May you might see water standing out here, but. But it's doing it now. It's seems to be unseasonable weather almost everywhere.
Birth pangs.
Well, guys, we are almost out of time. A couple more minutes here. Got a text in. Says, I'll read it here. Zephaniah 1:13. Moreover, their wealth will become plunder and their houses desolate. Yes, they will build houses but not inhabit them, and plant vineyards but not drink their wine. And Zephaniah 1:12. It will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. Whew. Work out your salvation, remnant, in fear and trembling on a daily basis. Fight that daily fight of faith. Remember that greater is He, Jesus Christ, and that's certainly His name, greater is He that is for us than anything or anyone that can come against us. Well, guys, as we wrap up, we definitely want to put out that we want to invite you to church tomorrow, remnant. You can come to church with us, and we're pleased to report more and more are coming to church with us. More and more are getting the DVD church, but more are tuning in on the video broadcast and on the shortwave on Sunday mornings. And you can join us at church at 10 a.m. Mountain Time on Sunday morning. That's 11 a.m. Central and noon on the East Coast at scriptures4america.org. And when you do that, you can go to scriptures4america.org at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Click on the live video broadcast, and it'll let you choose what type of computer program you want to watch it on, or you can watch it on your iPhone, on your smartphone. And you know, we do that when we're having church. We're back in the control booth and we check it to make sure it's streaming out good. Praise the Lord for the wisdom that was given to our pastor to set these things up in the past, so that you, the remnant out there, whether you're in Georgia or California or New York or Maine or New Mexico or anywhere in between, that you can tune in for church on Sunday morning and, you know, get a review of the news and hear John welcome everybody and get to see him and have prayer and some good music that praises the Lord Jesus Christ, and a communion service where we judge ourselves and then a Holy Spirit inspired message. So there's the invite. We encourage you to do that. Come to church with us. Don't forsake the assembly. And you will be blessed if you do. It's a choice. You make the choice. Or, you know, you can go golfing tomorrow or go fishing tomorrow or sleep in, whatever. It's your choice. Choose you this day. Well, guys, thanks again. If you want to write, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org.
Rolling, stay high.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Snake hide.
Moving, though they're disapproving.
Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide.
More when it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay, the price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel,
that old wheel.